Dear Lord, mighty God, great King, and Heavenly Father, we worship you and we praise you, dear Lord, this day. We magnify your holy name. We thank you, dear God, for all your many blessings. We thank you, O Lord, for the word of God. We thank you for your perfect love, your great goodness, and your great mercy. We thank you for your great compassion, dear God. And we thank you, O Lord, for thy great faith. Please, dear Lord, mighty God, bless us and heal us. Help us to walk a closer walk with thee. Look favorably upon us, dear Lord. Please bless the Main Street Church of Christ. Keep us into the day of redemption, dear Lord. Keep us, O Lord, a good soul-winning church. Help us, O Lord, to be a good example of what a church should be in Christ. Bless us, O Lord, in the ministries where we bless others. Help us, O Lord, in our ministry towards thee and towards the saints and towards the lost. Help us, dear Lord Almighty God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please, dear Lord Almighty God, we worship you and we praise you, dear God, this day. Help us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the bulletin, I labeled it the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes and the Maledictions. That's what I call it. You know, the Beatitudes is just another word for blessing. And maledictions is a word that I found for curses. In the Old Testament, there are two words for blessed in the Old Testament. What are they? Barak and Asher. Barak means to bow the knee, as in adoration, as in praise. So we will say that Barak means to praise. Can everybody hear me okay? Good. Don't hear any bumping. In the Old Testament, God blesses Abraham, Adam, Eve. God blesses Adam and Eve in Genesis 1:28. God blesses Noah in Genesis 9:1. And God blesses Abraham in Genesis 12:3. In Genesis 12:3, God says to Abraham, "And I will bless," the word is Barak, "and I will bless, cause them to kneel or to praise, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them, curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Okay, the word for bless here is Barak, to praise. And when God says, "And curse," there's the bump. It's arar, means to bitterly curse. Curse him that curses thee. The second word for curse is kalal. That means to despise, to afflict, to make vile, to persecute. So God is saying that he will bitterly curse those that persecutes Abraham and his seed. Okay, remember that. We might talk about that a little more later. Now, God has blessings and curses. I told you before, God blessed Abraham, Adam, Eve, Noah. God curses the serpent in Genesis, and I'll just give you these real fast. Genesis 3:14, God curses the serpent. The ground in 3:17, he curses Cain in 4:11, Genesis. And Canaan in Genesis 9:25. Each of these curses were given as punishment for wrongdoing. Okay? After creation, even doing, the blessings of God were given to show God's love for us. You know, he created Adam and Eve, and what good did Adam and Eve do? But he blessed them anyway. So, if you remember John 4:19, because he first loved us, we also should love him. After creation, the blessings were given to show God's love for us and for well-doing. Therefore, how do we go on to receive the blessings and not a curse, the Beatitudes and not a malediction? I can't pronounce that right. I don't think I'm going to say it anymore. If we love him and keep his commandments, isn't that simple? Love God and keep his commandments. In 1 John 5:2, it says, By this we know that we are that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments aren't grievous. It's not a hard to do. It's not an impossibility. Now, without Christ it is, but with Christ, all things are possible, isn't it? In Deuteronomy chapter 11, he's going to talk about blessings and cursings. In Deuteronomy 11, 1, verses 1, I'll tell you first of all, God says to love him, and God says to obey his commandments. And the reference scriptures in Deuteronomy 11 is verse 1, verse 8, verse 13. You can write this down because it's not going to be on the board. And verse 22, 1, 8, 13, 18, and 22 tells us to love God and keeps his commandments, and to keep his commandments. In Deuteronomy 11, 13, are we reading? And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain, this is verse 14, that I will give you the rain of your land and his due season. I'll see if I read this correctly. That I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. The first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Blessings and cursings are set before the people in Deuteronomy 11, 26. We like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free a cappella singing and downloads of gospel sermons. Brother Kelly, he is recovering from surgery, but he will be back this coming Sunday, next Sunday. Blessings and cursings set before the people. Deuteronomy 11, 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. 27. A blessing if ye, here it is again, if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. It's simple. If you want a blessing, you got to do the will of God. You got to be in the will of God. It's simple. If you want a curse, who wants a curse? Then you turn aside from the will of God. And yeah, you'll be cursed. But who wants to be cursed? God, forgive me. Help me. Have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner. Let us turn back to God. Verse 29, and it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God has brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put a blessing upon Mount Gerizim and a curse upon Mount Ebal. Gerizim, it comes from the word geraz, and that means to cut down. That means to cut down as to reap. The cutters down, the reapers, they will reap. What that means is that it's a fruitful mountain. A green mountain. It was known for its fruitfulness. While Ebal was a mountain known for its barrenness. You can see it. You look at Gerizim, you say, wow, that is a fruitful mountain. You could look at Ebal and say, wow, that is a barren mountain. Gerizim, good. Ebal, bad. Okay? Now, Ebal could be a compounded word from the Hebrew. The first word is E, which means a ruin, a heap, and Baal, which means utter or verily. So, Ebal was the utter ruin. while Gerizim was the fruitful, fertile ground. Blessings and curses pronounced, Deuteronomy 27:11. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, "These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan." And he chose six, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And they were to stand on Mount Gerizim. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher. It's funny, because Asher means happy, which means blessed. Two words in the Old Testament, as I said before, for blessed is Barak, which means to bow the knee, which means to praise. Sum it up in one word, to praise. And Esher, which is Asher, which means happy. And these shall stand upon Ebal, Mount Ebal, to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. So you have six standing upon the fertile mountain, Gerizim, and six standing on the barren mountain, Ebal. And the Levites, verse 14, we are in Deuteronomy 27:14. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. Now, this is an example of some of the curses. I probably won't say all these down. Verse 15, cursed be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image, any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say amen. They had problems with idolatry. Right now, don't we have? Isn't there idolatry going around this day? I'm going to keep it short, simple. 16, cursed, arar is the word. Remember I said there was two words for curse? Arar, which means to bitterly curse, and kalal, which means to persecute, so to speak. Okay? 16, cursed, arar, be he that setteth light. That word light here is kalal. That means to afflict. That means to despise. That means to disrespect, make vile. And remember, these are the same words used for Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3. Where God says that he will curse Arar, them that curse Kalal, him, Abraham. Verse 18. Cursed be he that maketh the blind man to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say amen. Who would do that? If a blind person is walking your way and you're walking towards him, you're going to tell him to move? He can't see. You should get out of the way. 19, cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say amen. I'm going to say this again. Cursed is he that perverteth the judgment of a stranger, fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say amen. If anybody's a good Bible scholar, a Bible thumper, that should remind you of James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Back to Deuteronomy 27, verse 24. We're going to drop down 24. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say amen. 25. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say amen. Now, verse 26 is the kicker. Yeah, that's the kicker. Listen to this. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. who could fulfill the law? At this point, somebody should have did a V8 and say, wait a minute. I can't do all this. I'm going to err somehow. At this point, maybe they should have realized that they were in need of a Savior. We couldn't fulfill the law. No one could fulfill the whole law. At this point, the people should have realized that they were bound with a curse because of this law and in need of a Savior. But thank God Almighty, God gave us a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Guys, if we sin, we die. The wages of sin is death. So we need a Savior, and we need to receive our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 26 again, it says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, amen. Let us look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, because he believed God. If you believe God, you're going to do what he says, aren't you? Especially if it's a matter of life and death. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify his brethren through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. There it is again, blessed. Galatians 3, 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. We are cursed, and we need a Savior. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And that is Deuteronomy 27, 26, what I just read before. But listen to this, verse 11. We are in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. We live because we believe who Jesus is and what he did to save us, and that's the grace of God. And how we receive it is by faith. God gave his grace unconditionally, and we receive it by faith. And that is a condition to receive it by faith. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Who could do the law? Jesus is the only one that could perform the law. He fulfilled the law. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And that's Deuteronomy 21, 23. So, is Jesus cursed? Jesus died, right? The wages of sin is death. So Jesus died, but he couldn't stay dead. Why? Because there was no sin in him. No sin. So, like Jesus was hung on a tree, but there was no sin in him. So this curse had to be lifted. And why was he made a curse? So the curse upon us could be lifted. Are we understanding that? Jesus could not be cursed by the law because he fulfilled the law. Therefore, he was hanged on a tree to become a curse for us, to rid us of the curse of the law. Only the man who committed sin worthy of death, if you read Deuteronomy 21, 22, and 23, you'll know that. Only the man who committed sin worthy of death was to be hung on a tree. Jesus did commit no sin at all. He bore our sins. He bore our curse. Verse 14. and we are in Galatians 3:14, that the blessing, there are two words for blessing, and I'll say this again. The two words in the New Testament for blessing is eulogio, which means to praise. It's the same as barak. And makarios, which means happy. Both are blessed. If you're praised, you're happy. If you're happy, you're praised. And we are blessed by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 14 again, that the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we, and this is important, listen to this, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. No Holy Spirit, no blessings. How do we get the Holy Spirit? By obeying the gospel. Deuteronomy 28, we're going to start with verse 1. You're going to notice here, and we're not going to go through all of them, there are 68 verses in this chapter, Deuteronomy 28. Notice here that there are 14 verses that concern blessing, verses 1 through 14. That talks about the blessings. And then 54 verses of curses. 54 verses of curses. What do you think about that? You know what comes to mind? Straight is the way and narrow is the gate. But there are many ways, of course, I'm paraphrasing, that will lead to this destruction. Deuteronomy 1, so we'll just touch this up a little bit. The blessings, talking about the blessings. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments. There it is again. We got to do the will of God. Okay? Which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all the blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, this is verse 3, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, that rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord shall receive thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Two great commandments are love God and love thy neighbor. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. We are called by the name of the Lord. Those that have obeyed the gospel and have become Christians, we put on the name of Christ. Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Deuteronomy 28, 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his session, and to bless all the work of thine hand. There is the word blessed again. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Big deal, isn't it? It's a big deal. I mean, do you remember? I remember how recently I had borrowed. And I'm thinking, oh, did I even pay that person back? Lord, forgive me. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. Christ is our Savior. Hallelujah. And we pray to God that He forgive us of our sins and help us in our walk with Him. Verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and serve them. They had a problem with idolatry. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest to your home or call us at 214-821-2123 or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free a cappella singings and downloads of great gospel sermons. Brother Kelly will be back this coming week, next week. He just recovered from surgery. Please continue to keep him in your prayers. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 28, 15, the curses. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 16, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed thou be in the field. Cursed shall thy basket, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine heart to do, settest thine hand unto for to do, until thy be destroyed, and until thy perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. We're going to drop down to verse 45. Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. We know there's a lot of curses in Deuteronomy. Maybe if you can go home one day and look it up and look over it. It's really a lot of stuff. Deuteronomy 28, 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and shall overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. Verse 47, drop down 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Drop down to 58. Deuteronomy 28, 58. If thou would not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Notice that that is capitalized. Amen. Drop down to verse 62. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye was as the stars of the heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. Drop down to 66. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. These were pretty big curses. If you look at them all, look them all up. Joshua, chapter 8, verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord, God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of the whole stones, over which no man has lift up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. Verse 32, and he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark, on that side before the priest, the Levites, before the priest, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he was born among them, half of them against the Mount Gerizim, and half of them over Mount Ebal. So Joshua is just repeating what was said in Deuteronomy. So here's what we're going to do. If you would please drop down, we're going to talk a little bit about David's Beatitudes. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read these to you so that you can get knowledge of this. Okay? Just a summary of all the blessings of David called David's Beatitude. Psalms 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Psalms 32:2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Inheritance. Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 37:26. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. There are other psalms of beatitudes, of blessedness. Psalms 44, Psalms 41 and 1, Psalms 65 and 4, Psalms 84 and 5, 84 and 12, 89, 15, 94, 12, 112 verses 1, 128, and Psalm 2, verse 12. Well, could you go to Psalm 128, verse 1, please? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. How are we blessed? By loving God and obeying his commands. Again, the two words in the New Testament for blessed, one is eulogio, to adore, to praise, to speak well of, where eulogy is derived. And the other word is makarios, which means to be happy. Barak is blessed in the Old Testament, which is the same as eulogio. Esher in the Old Testament is the same as makarios, which means happy. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 1. This is the basic teaching of Christ. This was the doctrine of Christ. This is what he taught over and over in different places to different people. Here Jesus puts a contrast of how the world looks at things and how God sees it. You could say it's a contrast of the carnal and spiritual, or spiritual and carnal. Here Jesus puts in contrast how the world looks at things and how God sees it. In just about every beatitude, it's not like he came with something new, but in just about every beatitude, there is an Old Testament scripture that proves it, that confirms it, that references it. Okay? Matthew 5:1. And he seeing the multitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, the disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, those who realize that they are spiritually bankrupt. Spiritual poverty, those that realize they are in need of a savior. The contrast is, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of riches and glory. So, we are poor in spirit, but we're rich in the kingdom of heaven. The Old Testament scripture referring to that, Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Isaiah 66:2, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor, that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Who will God look at? The poor in spirit. The ones who realize that we are in need of a savior. Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn where? In the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted in the kingdom of heaven. If you're in sin, and you are mourning, and you are continuing in sin, you will be mourning until the evening. We got to repent of our sins. Isaiah 61:3, it says, to appoint unto them, this is the reference, to appoint unto them in Mount Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise, eulogia, there's praise, there's blessing, for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So, poor in spirit, rich in the kingdom of heaven. Number 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In the kingdom of heaven. If you're not in the kingdom of heaven, then you will not receive the blessings of God. And how do you get in the kingdom of heaven? Well, you got to get in Christ. And how do you get in Christ? Well, by obeying the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth in the kingdom of heaven. Psalms 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. God's kingdom is a peaceful kingdom. The word meek, that's the word praos, that means humble, that means mild, that means to be tamed, submissive, as fit for the bridle, fit to be trained, ready to learn. That's what meek means. If I am meek, not only am I ready to learn, but I ought to be learning at this point. Learn the will of God. And the antonym for the word meek is wild, like a wild beast. You can't teach a wild animal. You can't ride on a wild horse. That horse has got to first be tamed. So like we got to be tamed, we got to be meek so that we can learn something. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled in the kingdom of heaven. Isaiah 55 and 1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yeah, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God in the kingdom of heaven. 2 Samuel 22, 27. 2 Samuel 22, 27. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. With the pure, God is going to show himself. The pure and holy, holiest of holies, God will show himself to us if we wait and abide in Christ. Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God in the kingdom of heaven. Isaiah 52, 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth glad, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Verse 10, we are Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Happy in this world will be blessed, and happy in the world to come. In Isaiah 52, 7, it says how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publishes peace. In Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Romans 10, verse 15. And how shall they preach except, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In Isaiah 52, this is from Isaiah 52, but in here it says the gospel. In order for us to receive the blessings, whether you call it Barak or eulogio, which means to praise, or whether you call it Esher or Makarios, which means happy, the only way you're going to get blessed and be blessed is by obeying the gospel. If you would go to Romans 13, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, and we'll read from 13 through 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This word for call upon is epikaluomai. That means surname, to be called by the name of, to put on Christ. That's what it means. And verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 will tell you that. And how does one obey death, burial, and resurrection? There has to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection in the life of the sinner. Death to sin, you got to repent of your sins. Burial, you must be baptized. And resurrection, then you walk in newness of life. That's what we must do. If any of you are not a Christian, you can become one right now. We have the water, it's ready. If any of you are in need of prayer, we have response cards. You can fill them out and bring them up. And why don't you do that right now, please, as we stand and sing our invitational song.
Dear Lord's rest, he that labor and the head.